Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio. Across from me is the one and only Mr. Bob Phillips. How are you doing today,
Bob? I'm doing great, buddy.
This is a this is a great episode. This
is
probably one of my favorites because it has to do with football.
It's going to be fun.
We're about to interview one of the greatest Michigan receivers of all time. We're going to have our interview with Anthony Carter.
Yeah.
Of the Michigan Wolverines, Michigan Panthers, Minnesota Vikings, Detroit Lions for a little
Three-time Pro Bowler.
Three-time Pro Bowler, fourth in Heisman voting his senior year at Michigan.
And a class guy.
So we're coming up with that in just a little bit. You heard coming into the episode, you heard the Super Bowl shuffle, because we're sticking with football here today.
It's all football.
And we're at Ditka's in Chicago. Mike Ditka has a steakhouse here in Chicago. Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that.
Do you think we'll talk about the Detroit Lions at all?
Well, I mean, he was on there for a cup of coffee. He was only on there for
two seasons. Like abbreviated seasons. They had no idea how to use him.
If that guy's career could have ended any better, it would have been great to end with a Lions Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That'd have been fun at the end, like whatever, 95 or whatever when he retired.
Uh-huh.
That would have been nice, but it's just
would have been, but it's the Lions.
It was the Lions. I mean,
their franchise won't end with a Super Bowl.
Their franchise. It'll never happen. We're speaking of that, we're in the middle of the NFL season here. I lost my bet. I got to let everybody know. I said the Patriots would be 19-0.
Yep.
And actually flourish with the Chicago Bears that only had one loss, which I was reading a little bit about that song. They recorded the Super Bowl shuffle a day after they lost to the Miami Dolphins. So that's when they recorded that song. They recorded it in the middle of the year. And,
well, that took some cojones.
So yeah, so here it is. They lose to the Dolphins. Whatever, they were 7-1 at the time, or 6-1, and they got to go tell Ditka that they're doing a stupid song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm surprised Ditka didn't go, "No, you're not going to. Yeah. We need to practice. We lost to the Dolphins." But he let them do it, and it became obviously a big hit because they went on to win the Super Bowl.
And it was terrible.
They trounced the New England Patriots.
Oh, they sure did too. But that song,
pre Tom Brady. But, you know.
That song is so bad. You go back and watch the video of it now, and you see Jim McMahon rapping.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it was really bad. I mean, it's a bad song.
It's a bad song.
It was.
It's
look,
so 80s.
If the Lions could go set. Well, we had a song. The Lions had.
Another one bites the dust.
Yep. Which.
Didn't last. I think we got to 4-0, and then we started biting the dust. With regularity, and we finished like 9-7 that season.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so we never wrote a song again. We tried to emulate the Bears. If you look at the stats for that Chicago Bears defense, it's unbelievable. Like there's teams
really
now
is.
That have really good defense. Well, the Bears have a good defense this year.
Mm-hmm. Not like that one though.
And no, they actually one day I think they were playing Denver or something. And Tony Romo said, as good as this team is, he brought up their stats and then they compared it to the 85 Bears. It wasn't even close.
No.
And that's how good that 85 Bears defense was.
Yeah.
They didn't give up shit as far as running. Do you want to try to get 100 yards? I don't think they gave up 100 yards.
I'd like to do a comparison between that was the 85 Bears, right? Because it was the 86 Super Bowl. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
I'd like to do a comparison between that defense and the Ravens of, was that 12 years ago? When Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, when Trent Dilfer. That was a great defense, but I still don't think it was as good as that.
Not as good? Okay.
No, it really was. They had unbelievable statistics, you know. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes you got to throw these stats out the windows because what happens is, like, take a team like the Patriots. You know, sometimes they're up 38-10 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
They take guys out. The other team is just throwing the ball around. So you end up getting some yards against you.
Right. Yeah, just garbage.
So
stuff.
Sometimes that takes into effect how good a defense really, really is. But that Bears team, they didn't even give up stuff in garbage time.
Yeah.
That's how good they were.
Yeah, I think they even said that. They clamped down the whole game. That was a point of pride for them, and that's why they won the Super Bowl. They had pride, which is, you know, in the stupid Detroit Lions, that's actually their marketing slogan, one pride. Yeah? Why don't you get some, you awful organization,
I know.
Amateur bunch of bumbleheads.
Well, we're going to have to ask Anthony what he thought about the Lions, although he wasn't there very long. He was a Minnesota Viking for...
I'll bet you he didn't like it.
Well, he wasn't there long.
No, cup of coffee.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, here we are at Ditka's, man. This is a great place.
I already saw they got the New York Strip.
Yeah.
I'm
getting that, too.
If you're interested, if you live in the Chicago area, Ditka's has a Thanksgiving... pre-Thanksgiving Day feast that you can get. You can do. It's a their private dining, and
yeah,
you just get all kinds of food, and it's like a seven-course meal. And so check out Ditka's of Chicago, because they've got many locations. And check out this great steakhouse here in Chicago.
Ditka, you know what they have here, Sal? We got to order this as an appetizer. Coach's Pot Roast Nachos.
Coaches,
you're in Chicago. Oh. Of course, you make your nachos with pot roast. Either that or sausage, right? We got to get some of that. That looks great.
That
they have
good.
Bruschetta.
I love it.
And this is kind of funny. Coconut shrimp here at Ditka's. I wouldn't have expected that. But yeah, a couple other items here. One of their favorites is the Fridge Burger. William, the Refrigerator Perry, has a burger named after him here at Ditka's.
Beautiful.
And, man, they got good pasta. Vodka cream sauce, I should say.
Yep.
So, but we're both going New York Strip, right?
Yeah, I'm going New York Strip.
All right.
I'm going to do it. And, they've got the Thanksgiving Day feast here. Signature seafood, steak, and more also available. Turkey feast, four courses served all day. Come here.
They have a really good Cabernet here. It's Optima.
Yeah, they got a
Optima Cabernet. Let's get that, all right?
Yeah, and then you can see Johnny Vincent live in the upstairs lounge.
Mm.
Come check him out. I mean, just a happy hour from 3 to 6. So Ditka's here in Chicago. We're having a good time. We're going to talk football.
How about that song again? The one hit that's got to be the worst one-hit wonder of all time, the Super Bowl Shuffle. These were the worst.
There was only 11. I think only like 11 guys sang, so they didn't allow everybody to sing.
They had Walter Payton.
Yeah.
They had Jim McMahon. They had the Fridge, you know. And it was so bad. It was in an era, too, where even the really good rappers, right, didn't rap like that. And so they come out with this thing, and you got to YouTube this thing. You talk about
it's
cringeworthy.
Really bad, but it was great back then.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was really great. But, yeah, and, boy, you never heard anything out of Jim McMahon after that season, did you?
No, you didn't. It was recorded. It was released on December 3rd, 1985. I told you it was recorded after their only loss of the season. It went to number 41 in February of 86, which was right after they won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And that's as far as up as it got. 6 minutes and 58 seconds in length. Man, that's a
Yeah, long that's song. Way too long to watch non-singers sing and rap and do some really horrible dance moves. Jim McMahon is 60 now.
Wow.
You know, I forgot. He was out of Brigham Young.
Yeah.
Jim McMahon was the biggest rebel. Remember he used to wear that headband that said Roselle?
Yeah,
it was mocking Pete Rozelle, and then he'd say, you know, on the other side it would say sucks or something. This was the quarterback for Brigham Young, man. That was, was Mormon town.
Unbelievable, and such a kind of a crazy guy coming out of that school, really, you know.
Yeah.
The singers on that video there, Bob, was the great Walter Payton.
Mm, Sweetness.
Willie Gault, the wide receiver, was on that video. Mike Singletary, the linebacker. Jim McMahon, as you said. Otis Wilson. A linebacker, Steve Fuller, a quarterback. This is interesting. There was three quarterbacks in that video. Richards. No, he was Steve Fuller was the backup, and then the third or second string was Mike Tomczak. And they were all in that video. So all three quarterbacks were in that video. And then Calvin Thomas was the running back backup to Walter Payton. He was in that video. Reggie Phillips of Phillips was there, defensive back.
My cousin.
Stephon Humphreys, offensive lineman. Tyrone Keyes, defensive lineman. Richard Dent. You all remember Richard Dent.
You're listing
Perry.
A Hall of Fame defense there, you know?
William Perry, one of the most famous Chicago Bears of all times. He ran the touchdown in the Super Bowl. The lyrics were written by Richard E. Meyer and Melvin Owens. The music was composed by Bobby Daniels and Lloyd Berry. The referee in the video was portrayed by Julia Kalish. So they had a female ref.
That's a lot we're getting to know about that.
Yeah,
horrific video.
They tried to reprise it in 2010. Seven of the surviving 85 Bears were reunited to film an updated version of a 30-second commercial promoting Boost Mobile.
So oh, I do remember that. So we're already using that word, surviving members. McMahon is only 60, so we got that many people from that team.
Yes,
that
seven of the surviving 85 Bears. Seven of the surviving 85 Bears. Hmm. So maybe somebody else other than Walter Payton passed away. Doesn't say, but
a one-hit wonder, Sal, in the truest sense. Do you want to talk about the NFL one-hit wonders? Because we thought that was just an all NFL episode.
Yeah, yeah. What do you got?
Ah, well, this is the biggest NFL one-hit wonders in history.
Ooh.
Okay,
all right.
Guys,
I guess
there for one season. You know, or maybe just one and a, they just were flashes in the pan, and either through injury or circumstance, or they just really weren't as talented as they showed initially. They washed out, and number one they list Icky Woods. Remember,
yeah,
Icky Woods,
the Icky Shuffle.
Yes,
he had the
with
dance.
The Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah,
yep.
Finished
him.
With 1,000 yards rushing and topped the century mark in both of the playoff games to reach the Super Bowl, but he tore his ACL early the next year and never recovered. He had 18 combined touchdowns and shuffles.
I don't have to look at that list. I can give you a couple of mine, but
yeah,
if there's a list, I got the list in my head.
Okay.
Charles
well, I'll tell
Rogers.
You what, I'll give you one, and you give me one back. So
okay.
Charles Rogers, yeah, Lions.
Charles Rogers, I mean, yeah. Bust. I mean, he
total
came
bust.
Out of state. He was a stud. We took him, I think it was our first round pick, and
yeah.
He just had maybe yep. one decent year.
I think he had a year where he caught some touchdowns. Then he broke his shoulder blade, right?
Yeah, and then he just got on drugs and
yeah.
crime and just that was it. That was it, done. Bust. Yeah. So yeah. I remember him. So who else you got?
Oh, this is, you know, I don't even remember this guy. This is from 2010. Peyton Hillis.
Peyton
Browns Hillis. Running. It was a fullback in Denver. The next year in Cleveland, he had 1,654 yards from scrimmage and 13 touchdowns. Those are monster numbers. Those are Barry Sanders numbers. He was the second highest scorer in fantasy football at running back.
Wow.
And
I
then
remember.
The next year, for the rest of his career, he scored 6 more touchdowns for the rest of his career and averaged 3.6 yards
wow.
a carry.
Wow.
So what else? Who
I'm
else?
I'm going to give you a recent one that I think's a bust. That is probably on the list. Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yeah.
Bust. I mean, that guy was...
You know, and he wasn't even a one-hit wonder. He was a no-hit wonder.
Yeah, I mean, the guy just came season. Out of college with just, you know, gonna put Cleveland back on the map.
Man.
Now they already got a new quarterback
yeah.
over there, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and,
that's my
Manziel is... He tried the CFL, right? And he washed out of that.
Yep.
How can you not make it in Canada with the athletic?
I mean, that guy
skills
so
that guy has.
He just don't care. He don't work.
He didn't care. He's a druggie.
They used to show him. He was playing video games with his friends, like in the off season. And
Johnny Football.
Out.
Here's one. What a name, Terdell Middleton. Terdell. I've never heard that name. As a second year player out of Memphis, Middleton got an opportunity and put up over 1,100 rushing yards and 11 TDs.
Wow.
For the Packers. In 78. He probably got 10 of those 11 TDs against the Lions. He never again topped 500 yards and scored 4 more touchdowns in his NFL career. Boom. Done.
Wow.
What else you got?
Did we talk about him already? Robert Griffin III?
Oh, God. That's
RG3,
one of the worst.
He was horrible. I mean,
yeah, he had
one good year.
Yeah.
You know? But he was running around, and
yeah.
the defenses said, we can stop this.
Yeah.
He's one-dimensional.
Yeah.
He was one-dimensional, and they figured him out.
Well, then he got hurt, and then they kept playing him.
Yeah, that probably did him in, too.
And so then he didn't even have the ability to scramble, and he never had any touch on his ball, so
yep.
he just washed out. He went, he bounced around a couple
places. He bounced around.
He's still in the league
somewhere. Still in the league. Yeah, you never know. He might, you know, you never know. He could become, maybe he's working on just being a pocket passer and You know,
he could be the next Kurt Warner.
Who knows? Yeah, you never
nowhere
know.
Nowhere and wins it, but I doubt it. He's shot. They blew his legs out.
Yeah.
And I tell you, he's got a good lawsuit against that coaching staff.
Yeah, he does.
In Washington that just kept throwing him
out
there.
Yeah.
It's like watching Earl Campbell in the 70s. Coach, I don't have any legs anymore. Let's give it to Earl.
Let's give it to who else? Who do you got?
So one of the most disappointing NFL quarterbacks of all time, Vince Young. The guy was so talented. And, you know, he comes out of, has this great Rose Bowl performance, wins the MVP award. And
third
one of the greatest
overall pick, 2006.
Yeah, one of the greatest college football players of all time. Comes into the NFL, has a brilliant rookie season in the NFL, wins Rookie of the Year, and gets named to the Pro Bowl. And then the next year, you know, just immaturity and he just too much partying. It's a, you know, too little focus on football. And everything just kind of went south for him. And I remember they had to condense the playbook for him because he just couldn't remember half of it. And I don't know, this is a joke I used to do years ago about this guy. You know, you got the Wunderlich test. It's a scale of 0 to 50.
Yeah.
You know, and I think average is like 25. And I think Vince Young scored an 8.
An 8.
I think that, yeah, I have to look that up. But he's, I mean, you get 10 for writing your name. So.
He
so
spelled his name wrong and got minus 2 on his name.
But anyway,
wow.
Yeah, there was a one.
That's worse than my SAT score. See, I can't even say the acronym letters.
You
the
got
test
it out.
I took it. I took the SAT.
So who you got? You got one last one hit one.
Well, I got two. I want to bring up two real quick. Jamarcus Russell, who was first overall pick of the Oakland Raiders in 2007. He came out of LSU early, and that's probably not a good thing to do.
No.
And I thought that guy was going to be really, really good. I really did.
As did I.
He just didn't. He didn't produce at all. I mean, never made it to a Pro Bowl. Just never really did anything. He had weight issues and work ethic questions, and that was it. He was done. Once you don't want to work hard in the NFL, you're done.
So well,
there's guys like Drew Brees that are 40 years old, still working hard.
You know what I mean? He's got one leg, one operating leg, and he's out there throwing, 35 touchdowns
exactly.
A season.
Exactly. So, yeah. And my last guy is Mr. Wonderful, Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Who miraculously beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2011. I don't know how he won that game. He was such a bad quarterback. NFL quarterback.
Really
he was
bad.
A great college football quarterback because only 2% of college players go to the pros.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
It's about 2 or 3%.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay.
You got 170 Division I schools or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then not everybody's getting drafted in the NFL. Or
and you got what, like 1,600 players in the NFL? You got a 55?
Yeah, so the point of that is Tim Tebow was a really good running style quarterback in college, mm-hmm. and it worked. But that shit don't work in the pros, man.
Because
linebackers are as fast as you.
But he had one good season when he took over.
Yeah, he did okay. You know, and then he tried to play baseball. Didn't somebody get hurt that year?
Somebody did, and that's why he got.
He came in, and then he won like 3 out of the last 4 games. They got in the playoffs. He beat Pittsburgh like on just a fluke game.
Yeah, it was.
I swear, every pass would barely get through the defensive back's hands and land.
It was painful to watch.
And then they got waxed, I think, by New England or something the next game.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Well, he's a left-handed guy. And
yeah,
he just had no touch.
Yeah, it just the pros weren't. He could have been a backup for many, many years or something, maybe. But
yeah,
that's how hard it is. You know, that's how hard it is. But he's doing things right. I mean, he's got a marketing career and he's got all.
Yeah, and he's a good guy.
Yeah,
I'm a Tebow fan. I like him as a person. So good for you, Tim. Keep going with. He's still playing minor league ball. Still hoping for that, for the call-up. But, hey, you know what? We got a guy we're going to interview here who is 180 degrees away from all these other the washouts we've been talking
this
about.
This guy did okay for himself.
A superstar.
Especially in that era of the 70s, 80s, early 90s.
Yep. Superstar at every level.
Yep.
The most prolific receiver in University of Michigan football history. The the all-star wide receiver for the Michigan Panthers.
Yeah.
The last professional football championship this state has seen.
Yep.
And then a three-time Pro Bowler with the Minnesota Vikings.
Great career up there, you know.
And you're going to start this interview. This is Anthony Carter, people. We're so happy to have him on the show.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is our interview with Anthony Carter. Well, hey, the first question I had, just to get going, I played football, not at your level, Anthony, but I played football, and I played in a junior football league in Livonia, Michigan. I played for the Cardinals, like, when I was, like, 9 years old. Is that how you started there in Riviera Beach? Did you play Little League football, or were you one of those phenoms that just started in high school?
No, I actually played too for the Wales Packers. So yeah,
the Packers. Okay.
Yeah, Wales Packers. Mm-hmm.
And then you obviously played high school football down there and was a star. What made you choose Michigan? I'm sure back then you could have went anywhere in the country. You probably had letters from everywhere. And you chose the North there. You chose the University of Michigan. Great school. But what was your thinking behind the choice of choosing the University of Michigan?
Yeah, I just wanted to get away. Never been out of the state of Florida. Florida State, Miami, you know, those guys, those schools, well, put it that way. They wasn't that dominant as they are now.
Sure.
So just wanted to get away, really, basically. That was it.
Yeah, there was a good article somewhere that I found on the net of you. I guess you were at Michigan. It didn't say what year you were in, but you kind of went home. You kind of got homesick, and then your mother told you to get back on the bus or the plane and go back up there and finish out your Michigan career. Is that a true story? Is that really happening?
Yeah, it's absolutely a true story. There's no doubt about it. But it was my freshman year. School hadn't started yet, and we, you know, was in the middle of tour days and just didn't seem right. But once school started and whatnot, and you get to saw other people outside of, you know, your football teammates and whatnot, so it was just homesickness just went away. And like you said earlier, my mom definitely was the key reason why I had to go get back, because she said, you got to get out of this house. I don't care where you go. So
you got to get out. Anthony, this is Bob. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Bob. And yourself?
You're good. Thank you for being with us. I was going to tell you that Two days is a good time to leave camp.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly. I had missed a couple practices, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you, man, it's great to be great to have you with us here on the Sal and Bob Show. I'm talking to Anthony Carter here, three-time All-American at the University of Michigan. He was fourth in the Heisman voting his senior year. How was it? In a nutshell, I know we could talk about this for hours there, AC. But how was it, kind of being under Bo, listening to his speeches, and got it. He had to be like almost like a dad to you guys, and not only a coach, but taught you life lessons as well.
Yeah, that's true. Not only on the field, he cared about his players off the field as well. And, you know, getting there and seeing some of his speeches and hearing some of his speeches, you know, he had guys basically want to run through the wall before we even got on the football field. So that was like new to me. So I was excited and ready to play. And, you know, one of the greatest coaches that I ever played for.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is I was kind of reminiscing over your stats and stuff. Your freshman year, you only caught 17 balls, but you had 7 TDs. I would have loved to have had you on my fantasy team that year.
Well, actually, I was platooning with Alan Mitchell, too, as well. So he was a starter. So I came in, and, you know, basically certain passing situations and whatnot. So my theory was always whenever they threw the ball to you, because they said Michigan didn't throw the ball in with 3 yards in the cloud.
Right.
So whenever they threw to me, I figured I had to do something with it, because you never know when you're going to get it again.
Yeah, well, Bob,
you did something with it 7 times out of 17.
Didn't you pull up his stats about his yards per catch, Bob? Earlier, you were looking at that.
Yeah, your yards per catch there was 1 year where you were at 23.5 or something like that.
Insane! It's insane.
Is that the number, Anthony?
I think you're somewhere in the ballpark. Then you know, like I said, it was all long passes. That's for sure. It was, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, no, you don't see though that kind of yards per catch anymore. I mean, and that was the best year in Minnesota. But your
right?
Yeah, but your whole career was marked with a great yards per catch.
It really was. You must have.
Every time I touched the ball, it seemed to be a long run or a long catch or whatnot. So yeah, absolutely.
Which kind of gets me to another question, AC. So you here you are, you're a high school football player. You can go anywhere in the country, and you choose Michigan that predominantly, you said, three yards in a cloud of dust. Did you think that, hey, you know what, I'm going to go up there and maybe change their mentality? Or did you just think to yourself, you know what, maybe I'm only going to have a few catches a year, but I'm going to make the most out of every catch? Is that what was that your mentality as a high school senior choosing Michigan?
No, not really. I originally signed with Florida State. You know, of course, you know, they threw the ball a lot. So being a receiver, that's where you wanted to go. But it just something happened at the last minute. I just changed my mind. I really can't put my foot on it and tell you the reason why. But unfortunately, I think the best decision that I ever made was to choose the University of Michigan.
Absolutely.
Well, it was for us. That's for sure.
Definitely was for us. And you had a splendid Michigan career. You know, voted one of the best receivers ever to walk on that campus, and so you definitely made the right choice there. And then I guess we talk about another choice. Here you are, you get out of college, and you decide on the USFL instead of the NFL. Now, as our listeners know, the NFL is a lot different now than it was back then when you had that choice. And here's the USFL knocking on your door. And by the way, me and my friends, we just love the Michigan Panthers. Like, we loved everything about you guys. We had, you know, we were wearing your jerseys, and it wasn't like just a league secondary to the NFL. You guys were right there along the side of the NFL. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. We call it the fun league, and we had some good times. And then guys start coming over from the NFL to the USFL. So it made the league a lot more competitive. And you had a lot of guys that once the USFL folded, end up had a great career and had opportunity to play in the National Football League as well.
Yeah, that was great. You had Bobby Hebe there as your quarterback. But yeah, so here you are. You played. You know, you had some big years for the Michigan Panthers there. You won the won it all, and then you went into the NFL. So you kind of took a different road, and you went in the NFL. You were drafted by the Miami Dolphins, I guess, a couple years later. They had your rights, and then they traded you to the Vikings, where you played against Jimmy Harbaugh, who obviously was a freshman when you were a senior at University of Michigan. So how was that playing against one of your teammates there and a good friend, I heard?
Oh, absolutely. It was kind of tough, but, you know, playing against ex, you know, college teammates and whatnot, you know, you just kind of, you know, be friendly with them during the game. But after the game, you kind of like hang out a little bit too. But, you know, it was all competition, and you just try to put all those college memories behind you because, you know, you got to be competitive. Everybody, you know, trying to keep their job. So that was basically it.
Yeah,
that's the name of the game in the NFL. Keep your job.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you kept yours for a long time in Minnesota, and you had a great career there. Three Pro Bowls, and they loved you up there. We're Detroit based. We were Sal and I are both from Detroit, and so I have to tell you, as a Viking, you broke my heart on a regular basis. By killing
yeah,
the Lions.
Well, you know what? Coming back, that's definitely. And that was, like I said, that was one of the reasons why I chose the USFL to stay in the state of Michigan too, as well, to play in front of the Michigan fans. So, as a Viking and coming back and playing against the Lions, I had to definitely try to show out a little bit.
Well, you did. You did many times. But you did. You, like you said, you tried. You came to the USFL and you won the championship with the Panthers. The last time a pro football team won a championship in Michigan, so congratulations on that.
You're it, AC.
Well, I had great teammates as well, so it wasn't all about me, but I had great teammates. You couldn't accomplish none of those things without great teammates. That's both USFL, college, and in Minnesota as well.
Well, you were entertaining. The Panthers were an entertaining team.
Right, exactly. That's what I say, the fun league. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
you
were fun to watch. And when you pulled that off.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was great. Great season, magical season, because it was only, you know, it was a short period of time. It wasn't a long time that the...
Yeah, and I still don't understand it to this day, the reason why we had to merge to go to Oakland, and we was averaging 70,000 to 60,000 fans, you know, a game there, right there at Pontiac. And I still don't understand that to this day.
That we merged with Oakland back then, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Man,
whoever made that decision was a bad decision, that's for sure.
Yeah, that doesn't, we would have to dive into that one. That doesn't seem right. You're getting 70, 80,000. My God, the Lions are getting that, and they've been losing for years, and, you know.
Right.
But, you know, the paychecks are coming in, you know what I mean, AC?
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really great, man. It's I tell you what, you were fun to watch, man. I you know, my history with you, AC, is I'm from upstate New York. I grew up in Binghamton, New York. So when I moved to the Detroit area, because my dad got a job at GM from upstate New York, I wasn't the biggest football fan up there. I don't know why. I wasn't a big NFL fan. I wasn't a big college fan, although Syracuse University's been, you know, obviously up there for years. But I just didn't have that football. And then I met my new friends here in Detroit, and they were big football fans. And I was pretty much, my initial thrust into football was basically you and Michigan football. Mm-hmm. Like, my friends were like, hey, you gotta watch Michigan football. That's what we watch around here. You know, besides the Lions, we watch Michigan. And I was introduced to football, you know, watching you. And not that I'm your height and weight now, but back then we were the same height. I was 5'11", 175 pounds. And that's what, I think you maybe 160 or
that's
something.
That's pretty much in the same ballpark.
So I was like you. I said to myself, this guy's got my body, my physique. You know, but, you know, I'm just trying to get a couple of catches against, you know, a rival high school where you were, you know, getting 45-yard TDs against Indiana and have Bob Ufer going crazy, you know. But it was fun to watch you, man. It was fun to watch you, and that's my childhood memory of watching you at the University of Michigan and then Michigan Panthers and then Minnesota. And it was just, you were just a joy to watch, man. Loved it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
appreciate
absolutely,
it
man. You brought joy to
can I
to
can I ask
friends.
A quick question here?
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite college memory, and what's your favorite NFL memory?
Well, the favorite college memory, you just said it. It had to be the Indiana game.
There's that Indiana play, AC? Yeah, that
so
was.
So that's hands down. And then absolutely the playoff game against San Francisco in 1988. 10 receptions for 220-some yards. Almost had the chance to go to the Super Bowl, but we ended up losing the NFC Championship to the Washington Redskins, which they went on and won the Super Bowl that year. So
that's right.
Be those two games.
That was a monster game, 220 something yards. That's
And you know what people don't realize about Anthony Carter? You were a great punt returner and kickoff returner. That you might not get the accolades that you do for your receiving.
It's a good point.
You know? Right, but they only used me like, you know, maybe in the playoffs. They used me during the playoffs. Minnesota did. They didn't use me during the regular season. I guess they tried to save me or whatnot. But, I definitely ran them back in the playoffs, in the pros.
Now, did you like the fact that back then Minnesota played outdoor, if I'm correct? If I'm not mistaken.
I got there just in the nick of time.
Oh, you so you
played at the Metrodome? No,
okay.
I didn't play at old Metropolitan Stadium.
Oh, okay, all right.
No, not
I was gonna say, you're a Florida boy. You don't like that,
right? And then when we played the Gophers when I was at Michigan, we always played them early in the year, like September and whatnot. So I had no idea that Minnesota got as cold as Michigan until I, you know, signed with Minnesota in 1985.
Sure.
It's a little bit of a rude awakening up there in Minnesota.
I thought Michigan was the coldest place I ever reached, but until I got to Minnesota, boy, listen.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a different world. It's
that's a different world up there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. It is. What do you got a, bouncing back to your college days here, do you got a, I know we know Bo about the football field, but do you got anything, a personal Bo story, just something just really cool. Maybe he took you out to lunch one day, or just something, a poignant story that kind of sums up what he's all about off the football field. Anything that sticks out in your head there, AC?
I wish it was dinner, but no, I actually got one where I knew better not to do it anyway, but I'm out of college now. I've been gone some 40-some years. So, but anyway, we was up in Port Huron, me and another friend, Harry Gossier, a teammate, and was trying to get this car. And the alumni called Bo, which I knew was the wrong thing to do. And he called Bo, and Bo told the alumni to put Anthony on the phone. So I got on the phone, I talked to him, and he, you know, the alumni explained to him what he was trying to do. And Bo said, "Who in the hell you think you are?" He said, "You get your A back up here right now." And once I got back on that Monday and then got in his office, he chewed me a new one. So That would happen to be the best one right
okay.
there.
Okay.
I didn't get no car. I didn't get no car at all. I got a good chewing out, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were off.
And this was
off.
My sophomore year. So.
Well, you okay. should have gotten a car. That's just me
I
saying.
I tried, believe me.
Which by the way, which is a great segue into my next question. What do you feel, what's your take on this, the college athletics now might be paid for their imaging and their name rights and things of that nature. What's your take on that? Have you been following that?
It's way overdue. Don't do the X players any good, but it's way overdue, and I think they should. There's no question about it. So hopefully something work out for the best for the player.
Yeah. The colleges are making a lot of money.
A lot of money.
College education is great, but you know, when your face is on Sports Illustrated and...
You got so much now, the internet and so much stuff they got going on now. Yeah, absolutely. So it is what it is. But, yeah, I hope the players get it and get as much as they can.
Yeah, that's great. So how's life for AC these days? Are you coaching? Are you still involved?
No, I tried that when I first retired. But, no, I'm just playing a lot of golf and dealing with my son. My youngest son has cerebral palsy, so I do a lot of stuff with him and try to be with him as much as possible. So,
that's great.
Just chasing that little white golf ball, but getting ready to stop now because the wintertime coming around.
Stop,
and
you're in
from
Florida.
The north are coming down. Yeah, and golf course is going to be crowded now, so I kind of give it up. Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. You guys that are down there on a permanent basis, you don't like this season because all the snowbirds come down and clog the lanes.
Exactly, and then they try to charge us the same price that they charge them, and we keep the course going year-round.
Yeah, that's right. So. It is what it is.
So.
Well, I hope you can make it up to Michigan soon, and we'll get you a round of golf in, man. Me and Bob, and we'll grab somebody else, and I'd love to play a round of golf with you, AC.
Hey, and back then, I didn't play golf and had no idea. They say, Carolina is number one, then Michigan is number two, and I think Florida is number three with the best golf courses in. Absolutely. I'll hold you to that because I definitely do that. There's no question about that. That's my game.
Yeah, we got some courses we can get out on. And
we don't have a football team up here, but we have golf course. Now you're a nice guy, Anthony. You're probably nicer than me. I got to ask you. Now, I've been a Lions fan my whole life, my whole ridiculous life. What is wrong with this team? Why can't they get it together?
I can't put my finger on it because even when I was there with the Lions, the little 1.5 year that I was there, I mean, Barry Sanders can get you a 40, 30-yard long TD run, and then you get inside the red zone, you take him out of the game.
Yes.
I'm like, what the heck is going on? Are you trying to win? And I couldn't understand it. So you always thought the grass was green on the other side. When I left Minnesota, thought it would be a little bit better there. No, it was worse. So I really can't put my finger on it. I don't understand it. I guess it starts from the organization on down.
Yeah, the other night, Anthony, speaking of that, the Lions against Oakland, I don't know if you were watching it. But
right, I watched it, yeah.
So it's fourth down and goal. It's the game's on the line. So
right.
Oakland calls a timeout. Normally they wouldn't. They would let that
play. We got a gift.
So we got a gift. Now you huddle up the boys, and you got Patricia over there and everybody, and they're like, okay, we got to put our best play out there for this fourth down.
Right.
And the stars aren't out there. Explain that to me. If you would have been left on the sideline, would you have just been scratching your head going, wait a minute,
Absolutely. You've been raising all kind of sand. There's no doubt about it. Like the Denver game with Odell Beckham with Cleveland. The guy didn't throw the ball to him at the crucial situation.
Yeah.
The way he was pitching on the sideline, you know.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you just don't understand those kind of things. Sometimes that makes you want to just give up the game and quit the game.
Well, that's what we got up here in Detroit now. We got our best corner. We got Darius Slay saying, I don't even want to play for this team anymore.
Right. And that's why the Megatron, I think that's probably one of the reasons why he gave it up. One of the reasons why Barry gave it up. I know it was really the reason why I gave it up there. I just, the heck with it. I was done.
I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad to hear you say that because that's been my theory all along. Then Barry, then Megatron. All these wildly talented people going, I can't deal with these people.
Can't deal with it. Exactly.
Well, maybe you should go into the offensive coordinating business, AC. I'm sure you're going to put – now, I get it. Sometimes you're used as a decoy, but you're on the field for that. They're not
at least
even
you're
on the
field. For it, right? The sideline will do you no good.
So. I don't understand. I know I'm a huge couch potato coach, but I sometimes feel like I can do it. I can do it better. What about just bounce around here? What about these pass interference calls now in the league, AC? I mean, did you just get? I mean, there had to be when you played. There had to be like just guys all over you that never got. You just never got caught the call because there was no replay. It was old school, and maybe the ref was turned his head, and you got totally interfered with, and it didn't call it. Was it really, really bad back then, or do you think it was just
it was bad.
Part?
It was bad. Like I said, you had no instant replay. You couldn't go up and challenge it and whatnot, you know, back in my days. But nowadays, you know, since that playoff game against the Saints and the Rams, that playoff pass interference that was not called, now they try to make it a new rule to try to you can challenge it. Well, they've been challenging it, and nobody has won it yet. No coaches, so why challenge it? It's just something the NFL just threw in there to just try to sugarcoat that bad call that was called in the NFC Championship game. So,
yeah, well, you're right. It's only been like 10% have gone the other way. They've reversed
the
it.
The other way of the challenge. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Well, it seems like the Lions always invent new rules. We always lose, and then they invent a rule because of how we lost. You know, the Calvin Johnson touchdown where he didn't finish it through.
Yeah, the
practice.
Right.
You know, he was holding it like a loaf of bread. He had it.
Right.
And then he just kind of let it go on the ground, and that's what caused the rule that you had to follow through all the way through. I mean, it seems like the Lions always invent new rules.
Well, look at you know, it's such a difference between. I mean, you can cite Anthony's career. I mean, first of all, it has to start with your talent. You're wildly talented, one of the most talented ever to play the game. But you go to U of M, a premier university with a premier coach, and then you go to the USFL with visionaries who saw what needed to be done to win that thing, and then you went into the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings, a solid franchise who utilized your talent in the right way. The Lions have never been that. They've never.
Right. I guess it's the organization, really. Basically, like I said earlier, you know, you always think the grass is greener on the other side until you get there.
Yeah.
You just stay with that organization that you're with because it's no greener than where you came from.
Well, we appreciate you coming here and trying anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you would have went to the Lions in 87, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way but it's nice that you got to play for the Lions, play for your not your hometown team. I guess the Dolphins would have been your hometown.
That was heartbreaking. You had a childhood dream team and then you get traded to Minnesota. So I'm not a big Dolphin fan, that's for sure. No more.
Well, you don't have to worry about the Dolphins doing anything on primetime television this year, Anthony.
No, not at all.
any good steakhouses down there in your neck of the woods that you like to go to once in a while, AC?
Ruth Chris. And I love Ruth Chris. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've done a couple of Ruth Chris locations. They got them all over. So definitely listen to our episode where we went to a Ruth Chris. I forgot where we were. We went to the one in Troy, and then one in Chicago or whatever. But we did a little history on the Ruth Chris Steakhouse and everything that it's about. But that's what we do. We like to sit down at a steakhouse booth and enjoy a good meal and talk to very, very talented people like as yourself. I hope you enjoyed your time here with the Sal and Bob Show. Bob, you got anything else left for AC, man?
I appreciate you guys having me on.
This has been so fun. You know, we're roughly the same age, and I followed your career from the time you came to Michigan, and you were an exciting player at every level, and I appreciate what you did. And
I'll be up next Friday for the Michigan State Michigan game. I'll be at the Turtle Creek Casino in Traverse City.
I know that casino.
Okay,
I've been to that casino.
I'll be up there next week.
Well, so. I just might meet you up there, Mr.
Well, I've got I'll yourself. Cell phone, and I know you gave it to me, and I won't text you during the middle of the night, but I will definitely text you next week. Maybe there's a way we can get together and have a steak with you, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks,
Anthony Carter. Thank you once again, man. Anthony Carter, everybody, thanks for being on the Sal and Bob Show. Wow, man, that was a good interview, man.
Holy cow,
just really great to have his time.
And nice guy,
just sitting down in Florida and said, I'm going to talk to the Sal and Bob. guys, and he did that for us. So
I'm sure he's listening right now. So thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony. That was awesome. I mean, yeah. I love that bow story he told about, you know, that car. You know, you might have been getting a car illegally
from a booster.
Don't
take the car, Anthony.
And basically, he was telling the story kind of nice. I think Bo got on that phone and was just, his face was probably so red. And he was probably, you get your ass in the car and get back to campus right now.
Well, he wants to do two things. You know, he wants to teach a young Anthony Carter, you can't do that. And the second thing is, don't you dare become ineligible. I need you, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. So what a great story, but Bo was like a second father to him, is what he's been told to say in interviews and stuff across the country. But that was a great interview, man. It was awesome. And we're gonna get him on a golf course up here.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Next spring, he said he would golf with us, so we're gonna do that. But man, I tell you, well, he even said it. His most famous play that he's remembered for is the 45-yard touchdown pass. Against Indiana, and it was called by Bob Ufer, and today it goes down as one of the greatest calls in Michigan football history. So we're going to take you out with that call, so you can, it's about a minute long, so you'll be able to hear that. And
we'll be fun to relive it.
And I know you can't see it as you're listening to it on the podcast, but just know Anthony Carter went high stepping into the end zone. If you've never seen the video,
high stepping,
and then Bob Ufer's going crazy. It's a great football call. That's all I got for today, man.
What about you, man? That was a lot of fun. We're going to wrap things up here.
Oh, thanks to Ditka's.
Thanks for having
us. We didn't have the interview here with Anthony Carter, but we threw the interview in, but we wanted to go to Ditka's and we wanted to play the Super Bowl shuffle. This was a football day, and Anthony Carter made that happen.
And the Lions still suck.
The Lions are 3-4-1, and we need to beat the Chicago Bears. Speaking of the Bears, Super Bowl Shuffle, we play the Bears this week, the first of two meetings.
I know.
Isn't that weird? We play the Bears twice, and our season's half over. So we have two games against the Bears still. We have at least one more game against the Packers left. We have one more game against the Vikings left. You know what I mean? There's four or five important divisional
losses.
Losses. Don't say that. They're going to slip into the playoffs.
You know what they're going
to
do.
It's going to be the first round of the playoffs. They're going to have to go out to like a Dallas, or they're going to have to go to the Rams or something. And that's going to be they won't get a home game because that's done.
I don't think they're even going to make it. Listen, at the beginning of the season, Vegas said 6-10, right?
Yeah.
And then they win, what, the first two?
Well, they were.
No, they tied the first one. And then they win the first.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying, Vegas is wrong. No, Vegas is never wrong.
No, they're
going to
be right.
They're going to be.
But we got it. We can't flirt with 6-10. We got to win this week, go 4-4-1, make some magic happen, slip into the playoffs, baby. Let's do it. They're going to get in. That's my prediction since my New England one's over with. But anyway, we're going to take you out with the great call by Bob Ufer against the Indiana Hoosiers, Michigan Wolverines, Anthony Carter, 45-yard touchdown run. Bob, good to see you. Good to hang out.
Same here,
Chicago.
Buddy. See you next time.
Nate Armbruster, thanks for everything you do. Good night, everybody.
Under center is Wangler at the 45. He goes back. He's looking for a receiver. He throws downfield to Carter.
The play was called. Anthony told Wangler, you throw the ball to me. And because what it was an in route. Instead, see, by this time, when you know you only have one play left, they obviously played a cold zone defense and sat back there. The ball had to be completed underneath. Now, if you were going to complete the ball underneath the three deep coverage, who on your football team would you want to have the ball? Why, without question, Anthony Carter. And so Wangler went back there, but in the huddle, I know for a fact that Carter told him, Wangs, you throw the ball to me. And that's what Wangler did, and Carter did the rest.
Johnny Wangler to Anthony Carter will be heard until another 100 years of Michigan football is played.